All right. Good morning, everyone. Lord, we thank you for providing us for this day. I thank you for being in our midst. I thank you for all that you're doing in these last few days. Lord, bless us to hear your word and go forward in you like never before. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Last time we made it to Revelation chapter 2. Verse 6, just to recap, I'll look at 5 again. Jesus is speaking, and he's talking to his church about things that need attention so that they can go forward. The system of the world is sneaky, it's subtle, and it creeps in. And the Lord, when you pay attention to the Holy Spirit, he heads things off before they begin, before they get out of hand. And that was one part of that message he gave me about following God. When you're watching him, nothing will sneak up on you and take root. You'll be able to counter it appropriately. And that's what Jesus is doing here. He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of its place, except thou repent." One thing about Jesus is he'll warn you in love.
Amen.
And they had really fallen back. He said, "Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen." God will be honest with you. And then, but he told them what to do, how to. He gave them wisdom. This is the Holy Spirit giving them a word of knowledge and a word of wisdom. He told them what happened and what to do about it. And they wanted to do the right thing. These are people that wanted God's will. But the enemy came where they weren't watching. Even though they were fighting, he still got one in on them. And the Lord helped them pull that arrow out. Verse 6, he said, "But this thou hast, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." And I didn't know what that was for a long time when I first started.
I've got 6 different meanings.
Yeah.
6 different sources.
And I asked somebody what that meant, and they said that Nicolaitans is, that's a Greek word. Nico means power, and then laity, the people, having power over the people. And the Lord never intended for his people to rule over his people. He wanted us, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Sometimes people look at the callings, but the calling is just a function that you do. We're still equal in him. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. And sometimes people put themselves up over others. And the Lord hates that. That's what the world system does.
He said, "If you want to be greatest of all, you'll be the servant."
Yes, and the greater servant is the greatest in the kingdom of God. And that's why he said, "Many that are first will be last, and many that are last will be first." People that have a heart like God, they seek to serve other people.
Yes, amen.
They're not after titles and recognition, and they don't do it for those reasons. They're trying to help people live. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to help us live. Then he said, "He that believe will do greater works." He didn't have a problem with you doing a greater work. And he's Jesus. In fact, that's how it's supposed to be. He left us with a foundation, and we can build on that. We can be a vessel, a yielded vessel. And that gives Jesus a chance to build on his own foundation as we're guided by the Holy Spirit. So we believing him is the key to being yielded. But the Nicolaitans, they reigned over the people, And the Lord hates that. And the world accepts that because that's what the world does. Religious systems of men that get out of control, they always reign over the people. And they tell them what they can and can't do. They get to a point, they tell them who to marry and whether they should get married. These decisions God left up to the individual. And this country was founded because people wanted to come back to the roots of God and have religious freedom. And they were tired of the tyranny. And they changed the Bible into Latin so they could rule over the people. That was a language that was forgotten, and they didn't understand it. And I mean, people died bringing us the Word of God. Tyndale, Martin Luther had it translated into German, King James into English. I mean, the history, we had a lot of problems arose because there were people who fell in the Nicolaitan trap. And as I got in the presence of God, I saw his heart, and I saw how he wanted things done. And I alerted people to go back to hating the ways of the Nicolaitans. Once I understood it, I didn't understand it at first.
He made it very simple. And actually, Scofield says it that way, but he didn't. He said to conquer, and to me, that became clear.
Yeah.
But that didn't seem clear to me when you said power over the people, to conquer the people.
Yeah. And that's what the kings did. And the kings put people in power. The kings wanted people just to remain under their control.
Mm-hmm.
And when people get saved, they become free. And when they're free, they're bold. And so they wanted to quell this. You know, Psalms chapter 2, it says, "Why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing?" And the kings, the leaders, they get together and they plan out how we're going to control the people. God hates it. But when we love God again, the Word of God sets you free. It's all about communion. When you commune with the Lord, he sets you free to make a choice. The Word of God doesn't never brainwash anybody, but it brings you to a point where you're sober and you can make a sober choice of your own free will. And everything about the kingdom of God is that way. Everybody that goes to heaven, they want to be there, and they want to remain there. And from the angels to men, everybody there, they want to be there. They love God, and they keep his commandments by their own free will. And demons have proven that you can leave if that's what you really want to do. There were angels that fell away. And now, but Jesus came to put an end to sin. He told me something real peculiar Friday night. He said that grace is a two-edged sword. The grace of God is like a two-edged sword. The grace period. The Lord uses time. Grace is a period of time. It's a span of time that God has given man grace. And people can casually make up their mind about what they want to do, according to how they believe. And once they hear the gospel, they're required to believe. We're already judged. People are already judged. But when they hear the way out of this, they got to mix faith with it, believe it, and go forward. And in the world, the enemy wants to deceive people in that area, but it's light. It can't be put back in a box once they hear the gospel. And I said last week about being deceived and beguiled. People, once they hear the gospel, they're required to believe. They understand it. Their eyes are open. But some people desire to be deceived. They're trying to find a hiding place again. And when you tell people about Jesus, you disrupt their whole world. They know that they're wrong about a lot of things, and they got to be corrected by Christ. And they can feel it from the heart. But will they respond or not? If they love darkness, they won't. They'll try to stay in darkness. But if they love the light, they're coming out of this world, and nothing's going to keep them, hold them back. It has to register in their mind. It has to take root in their heart so that they can overcome their habit system and the way that they thought before. And the deception, the prior deception, is kind of like when you take when a spider catches a fly and wraps him up in that web. The fly wish he could leave again, but he can't. He's trapped. Well, deception can work the same way. But when people hear the gospel, they can make the choice within to come out of deception. Some people will get killed if they do it. Some people will lose their inheritance. They'll be disassociated by their own family, their neighborhood, the people they care about, and they'll be ousted. They have a lot to lose if they believe on Jesus, but they do it anyway. And some people, they don't know if they want to lose all those things, and then they're tempted with darkness. So it takes an anointing to break those bonds. And the evangelist has it. And when, you know, when a people can carry the anointing is transferable. An evangelist can preach a message and somebody can carry and it'll still break the bonds. When Elijah anointed Hazael to be king of Assyria. Now, Elijah died, but Elisha sent his servant to anoint, that was Jehu, to anoint Jehu to be king. And when Hazael came to the prophet on behalf of Ben-Hadad, the prophet told him, "You're going to kill Ben-Hadad," and Hazael became king. So the anointing is transferable. If it was transferable to anoint people to be king, then it's also transferable to get people saved. Billy Graham can preach a message and somebody can carry that same message and the anointing is still powerful because the anointing is transferred. So the Lord has a way to get things done, no matter how bad a person is deceived. But once they hear the gospel, their eyes are open. And these are things that the Lord reveals. Verse 7 says, "He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat in the, of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." So now we know where the tree of life is. It's not on earth, it's in the paradise of God. And he, the things that he's saying here, he's saying to all. Whenever he gives us correction, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom, to help us get back on track, that protects our communion with the Lord. The Lord will protect it, and then we have to protect it, because we come out of a dark world into the light, and the world is full of traps, and the Lord will help us spring all of them. And if anybody ever got in doubt about what condition they're in, if you study what Jesus is saying to the churches, he covered every base. If we can be corrected in chapters 2 and 3, we're right with God. Jesus is not just a savior and a priest. He's also the divider. He's going to divide light from darkness. That's something that the Lord was doing all along. Everything about God does the same thing. God divided. He chose the light and resisted darkness. The Word does it. Jesus does it. The Holy Spirit does it. And even grace does it. Because over time, people that love something in that world, they're going to go back to it. And people that truly love the light are going to come. And hopefully everybody some people are going to wait till after the rapture to get saved. Some people hadn't heard yet. And some people, there are people that, they may be lukewarm now, but they won't take the mark. So hopefully, the Lord has this thing ironed out perfectly. That's what he was showing me, that grace is a two-edged sword too. And I just sat up. I said, "Wow," because I'm learning these things, and it's becoming clearer and clearer. Okay, I'm over time. I'll try not to get over time, but I do it sometimes. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here it is. Communion is a backbone of our salvation and our relationship with the Lord. And the Lord wants us to remember all that he's done. First Corinthians 11:24. "And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." And I love the Lord our God. He thinks of everything. And sometimes he say things, it's just some, I thought about that all day yesterday. and many other things that he brings, you know. Communing with the Lord is a super privilege. It's a blessing. And we can do so much with his knowledge. All right, Brother Ray.